report 2025. This might be the only time I say this for the next few weeks. We have a full commission. All six members are here this evening. And we'd like to thank all the city staff is here. Mr. Luce representing the city attorney's office, and Mr. Priest and Mr. Schindler and Mr. Nielsen, Mr. Aguilera, Mr. Moss. And we'd like to also Mr. Lewis visiting with us again, and all the, those in the public who are here with us as well. So thank you for being here this evening. Huh? Oh, and Cindy, sorry, it's the most important, but I'll call on her in a little bit to call on us each for your individual votes. Sorry, Cindy. Okay, so we're all here, and so that'll take them to our, just jump into our agenda. So first thing is a motion to approve the agenda. Hope you've all had a chance to review the agenda, and I believe there might be a slight amendment this evening on that. Anybody would like to make a motion with a slight amendment?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we move item J1 under other business to section G as an action.
Okay, and I will, any other amendments need to be made to the agenda? I will second that, and then we'll have discussion. So we have a motion by Commissioner Bishop with an amendment to move the Planning Commission discussion adoption of commission rules to action items, which is where we can hold a hearing and possible, oh, not a hearing, but we can have our formal discussion. And then, but any other discussion to the motion for this evening? Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6 in favor. Takes us to item number C, the approval of the minutes from our June 10th, 2025 meeting. Thank you, staff, for putting those together. I hope you all had a chance to review those, like the shortest part of our packet this evening. So any changes that need to be made, omissions, additions?
Yep. Okay. There's one.
Okay.
Thank you for pointing it out. I'm listed twice separately, once as my first name, once as my last name on present. I'll take double credit, but... That probably should be fixed.
Well, because you're leaving, we want to make sure that you want to. Okay, so the one, any other amendments, changes need to be made to the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
I'll move that we approve the minutes from the June 10th, 2025 meeting with the amendment as stated.
And I will second that. Any further discussion to the motion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion also passes 6 in favor, which takes us to section D, our staff business. I will look to my left, audience right first. Anything you need to share with us this evening?
Yes. God is just thank Commissioner Bevins for her service and wish her well. And thank you all for your service. We appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Yep, and then I'll look to the right. Anything else on the cheap seats? No, okay. We'll jump into the item E then. Comments from Planning Commission members. Also, yeah, I'd like to echo that. Serving with Commissioner Bevins for the last, is it 4 years now?
Yeah.
4 years, and it's been a pleasure having her up there with her expertise, and we wish her well.
Thank you.
For those listening online, there will be a vacancy for
District 5.
So please apply. I think there's a process to apply. You might want to reach out to Council Member McGuire as well, and then the whole council, I think, formally would adopt the recommendation, and then you could spend every other Tuesday basically with us. We're a fun bunch of people. Okay. Anything else from the other commissioners?
I have one thing. So it's in regards to the email that we were copied on for City Council. It sounds like the format is changing for these meetings. I wanted to verify that means we'll need to get special permission to participate remotely, but will applicants still be allowed to participate remotely if they coordinate in advance? Or is that going to be also curtailed?
Yeah, well, my understanding is, and we can seek further clarification, is that there will be no public comment, whether it's at the beginning of a meeting in City Council meeting or, in your guys' case, public comment as to any specific item, and same with council, via virtual. And so the anybody scheduled to present that won't be there, if they have approval, can be put prior as it's doing Zoom and webinar, so they would be put as a panelist, essentially. But we would discourage applicants from relying on that. We discourage anybody from thinking that is the way they can get into the meeting. The way to be in the meeting is to be in the meeting. Now, for board members or commissioners in your case, and for a city council, there are times when you're called away by work, you're donating and giving your time. So certainly we will make every effort if you have the time and the ability to do that to advertise it as a virtual meeting and everything. We did that prior to COVID, prior to this virtual stuff. We would have at times a meeting where someone was out of town and we would find a way to bring them virtually or electronically is what the state law says into the meeting. And so we'll continue to do that. There just won't be general public comment either generally or specifically as to an item during a public hearing virtually anymore.
And I want to thank Mr. Lewis and staff for including us in that notice at the City Council's own. Thank City Council for their support and how they're dealing with a very difficult situation as well on that. So, anything else from commissions? So we have no items under our summary action, but we do have an item under Section G, our action items, which is the former item of J1, the Planning Commission discussion and adoption of regarding commission rules for 2025. So I believe Mr. Bishop, Ms. Harding, you guys were not with us last meeting, but we kind of finalized our discussion of our rules for the future just based off what we had. And Mr. Simonson, I've forgotten the paralegal's name with the city, but they put them together in a format for us to hopefully adopt or review for last second changes if we need to make any and leading to a possible adoption on these, which would be good in case some of us follow Commissioner Bevin's lead and are no longer on this body in the future. At least there's a framework kind of a rules, which can be changed by any commission at any time. So we are the actual applicant on this one.
Mr. Chair, may I make a motion that we limit conversation on this topic to 30 minutes tonight?
Yeah. So let's do that with our other items of our discussion. So I would agree. I don't think we need a motion for that. Any disagreement to that? So we will go no later than 7:10 on this item. Hopefully faster, because we've dedicated many, many meetings to this and review. So we have the rules. Just to give a quick summary of our last meeting, Mr. Simonson shared a few concerns. One of them is what we just discussed with the general comment section, which the commission generally has not done except for items that are on the agenda. And so we move those kind of rules under the public comments of the actual items. We still left a provision that based on the commission, if they wanted to suspend the rules and open up a general public, which we have had in the past, if an item gets tabled and people have shown up to want to give testimony, or if there's someone who's new to the city and just wants to ask the question and we can direct them in a way. So very limited circumstances, we have allowed that. So that was one of the main changes that was made. Other, just a couple other minor cleanups. He wanted to make sure that we were compliant with state code and state law and city code as well. So hope, and of course from the previous meeting, we have removed the call the question based on Mr. Simonson's recommendation that regarding due process on that as well. So hopefully you've had a chance to review those, and I'll just let somebody else want to jump in. Any concerns or things they noticed that might need to be changed from our previous discussions on this item? Don't be shy. And of course, obviously, I think we have it in here enough that if the commission wants to suspend the rule, they just make a motion. Majority of the, and it'd be overridden for that time. So we do have kind of a option. Just this is not a hard and fast rule on that. I know several of us have also served on other commissions. We borrowed our template from another commission as well. So hopefully we're, at least I think four different municipalities have been involved in this process in our history on that. So hopefully it's a good starting point for future commissions on that. Any other concerns? Oh.
I've got one thing in here under 5B. It says that we give 2 minutes, but we've always done 3. So I think that may just be something that got overlooked. But yeah. If we want to keep 2 minutes, that's fine. But we've always historically given 3 minutes to speakers. So we may want to.
So 5B, three minute time.
5B and then I down here.
Oh, and I, yeah, we. Okay, yeah, we need to change it or 5BI to align with the 3 minutes.
I think it's 1, but you know, B1.
Oh, B1, sorry.
I said I first, it was my fault.
So, great. good chance. So we're at least consistent in the same section. Any other updates or things that you would like to see that we may have missed? Again, this is the first round. We can revisit this later in the year when we have school meetings or next year, the commission.
I think there's a grammar error at the end of paragraph one on page three. Parameters of section 5B with a colon. When we reference paragraph B5 below in section 4, we should be consistent between the two. It's probably better to say section 5B, which then necessitates a change on item D under section 4 on that page.
Any other item?
None.
And I think with the change with the virtual format, we've got that, the process just explained to us by Mr. Luce. I think we have that captured. If we do need to have commission participation remotely, we have that pathway. We already had that taken care of, so.
Maybe my only question is at the end. Now we have recording of the bylaws. I don't think we need to include it in the bylaws, but are we going to publish that for the public to have access to as well? Somewhere on a website or something.
It might be helpful for potential applicants to the Planning Commission.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think there's any reason why we wouldn't.
Mr. Luce might have a comment about that.
Let me understand, you wanted to notice that we would include access to others on the to
just
post?
Just the bylaws.
Your bylaws? Tonight. It would be non-standard. We don't
do that?
No. What we post on our website is the city code. And what we have, something called the advisory something for boards and commissions. I can look it up. We have that available, but we don't post that. Available.
I'm fine. That's
how all the other boards, they operate under that. The Planning Commission kind of operates under state law and city code. It doesn't have a lot of other restrictions on it other than what you're proposing to put on yourselves here.
But if a member of the public came in upon request, they could ask for a copy.
Yeah, public documents are public records. By being in this, in these minutes.
Okay, and then also, like, if an applicant for, you know, District 5 came in, they could be supplied them as part of the application.
Yeah, as far as the application goes, that's handled by the city recorder's office and standard of what we usually give out, whether or not they give out these bylaws. I don't know. I'm sure. So as each of you know, once you guys are appointed by your city council member, you meet with the plant or the mayor in some cases. You meet with the planning department, and they walk you through everything. If these were part of what you live by, I imagine you'd see them there, if nowhere else.
Okay. I'm totally fine. In the past, we've tried to stay in alignment with the other bodies, and I think that's wise. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Anything else? Anyone? Okay, so we've got two minor adjustments. Anything else? Again, you won't be locked in forever, but anybody want to take a stab at Laurel's Law?
Not if you call it that.
Oh, sorry, Bevan's Bylaws. I didn't call it the Big Beautiful Bill.
I'm going to stop you.
Okay, yeah, before I get in trouble.
I move that we, the Planning Commission, adopt the City of South Jordan Planning Commission bylaws and rules of procedure as presented this evening with the two minor changes discussed during discussion.
And I will second that. Any further, we have a motion by Commissioner Hollis and a second by Commissioner Getch. Any discussion to the motion? I don't know if this requires a roll call vote because we're adopting the rules. Let's just do it just to be safe. So roll call vote, please, Ms. Valdez. Just be super safe.
Commissioner Hall?
Yes.
Commissioner Gitch?
Aye.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Devin?
Yes.
Commissioner Petlow?
Yes.
And Commissioner Hardy?
Yes.
That motion passes 6 in favor. It only took us 7 months, but we could say we accomplished something as a commission. So congratulations to all of us and to our previous commissioners who are no longer serving on the body, who also helped chime in along the way as well. And so we have a starting point, and that only took us 10 minutes. So we are way ahead of schedule. So let's keep this pace going. So that closes our items under Section G. So let's move to Section H, our administrative public hearings. And for the 3 items under this section this evening, we as the Planning Commission are the final deciding body for the items under here. And so just our process is staff will give us a presentation of the item. Then after that, we'll ask staff any questions we may have at that point. Then we will invite the applicant to come forward, add any additional testimony that they would like to share. We may have questions for the applicant. Following that, we will open it to the general public for the open public hearing. And following that, the Planning Commission will have a discussion leading to a possible motion. Just so you can keep in head, if you are here to testify, give testimony on these items this evening, we ask that you, when the time is opened, that you come to the microphone, give us your name and address, and you will have up to 3 minutes to give any evidence that you would like to give that might be pertinent to the item that we are discussing. It is not a give-and-take session, so you may present any evidence, ask the commission questions, but we will not directly respond until we close the public comment, and then we will try to address any issues that are raised. So our first item this evening is item H1, the Daybreak Village 11B Plat 2, for property that is generally located on the west side of Bingham Rim Road between 1800 South and Meadowgrass Drive. The applicant is Peregrine Consulting on behalf of LHM Real Estate. And Mr. Schindler, I believe the item is yours. So Greg, the time is yours.
Well, now we're going to put us behind now because my computer's off. So.
There we go.
It could be, but I'm not part there. I
don't know. Let's see. Screen's gone.
Yeah. Let's see if I can. Okay, that's not the right one. I'll fix it. So let me get up there. Yeah. Yes, it shows up everywhere, but on the computer. So let's see. We'll go back.
Thank you.
There we go. Back on schedule. So. yes, this item is a Daybreak. Village 11 plat 2. It's a preliminary subdivision plat, and it's located fairly close to it's on the far west boundary of Daybreak, right down on 118 South, and what's just west of it is the water reclamation facility. So you can see it's on the border. That's the last farthest west they go at that point on in Daybreak. And it's 12.731 acres. And they're proposing to divide that into 91 residential lots, which includes 59 single family and 32 townhomes. Also 5 park lots, and there's also public right of way. I'll move that on to, that's what the subdivision looks like. The Daybreak Community Structure Plan designates the area located as village, which allows up to 25 units per acre. This is far below that. The gross density at the proposed subdivision is 7.1 units per acre, and while the net density is 13.9 units per acre. The proposed subdivision is consistent with the general plan. All state and local subdivision review requirements have been followed, and the proposal complies with city ordinances and the Daybreak Master Development Agreement and the Daybreak Master Subdivision requirements. So therefore, staff is recommending approval.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Schindler. Any questions for staff at this point? To my right. Nope. All right. Before you go sit down, is the applicant present?
I don't think so.
Should we check to see if they're online, because the notice just went out this week?
If the applicant's not here, I have a question that Greg may be able to answer.
I don't think they're online either. I have a feeling that they forgot. Okay, sometimes they think this is city council night, and I don't know. There's
some of these roads, as they come across, it's Markfield Way. It looks like they don't like line up anymore, like Rail Lane and Pippet Lane. Is that just like a skew of the scan, or do they really not line up?
Let's see, which ones again?
So if they come across Markfield Way, like Rail Lane doesn't line up, Pippet Lane doesn't line up, and then Turico looks like it more is in alignment. But those two in particular are not.
The Pippet Lane, when it crosses, it probably is. It's not off enough to give it a different name, I think, because okay. It's.
But they are just like slightly off.
Yeah, they are slightly off, okay. and it's. I noticed that too. It's not something that the scan. Does. Okay. They're just. They almost line up straight across, but they're not quite.
Okay, that was my only question.
Okay. Anything?
I've got a question. I'm sorry.
Nope.
That I've wondered about with the lanes for a long time. Are those a responsibility of the city in terms of maintenance?
They are public lanes. The only, every once in a while, we get to one that's if it has goes into a dead end, and it we won't maintain a dead end lane, but only the dead end part. Once it, but otherwise, they are public. They're dedicated to the city for our maintenance.
And how well does the concrete versus the asphalt like hold up? Is there any?
Maybe Jeremy can answer. I think the concrete holds up probably better, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, the concrete's less maintenance, as long as we don't dump too much salt on it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Anything else for staff at this point? Oh,
mm-hmm. Is this really 12,000 acres? Your densities just don't make sense to me.
I think I put that I'd leave out the point. It's 12.71 acres.
It looks like a comma to me, but maybe mm-hmm. I'm blind.
Oh, I could have hit a comma with my finger. They're right next to each other.
Okay, 12 point makes a lot more sense to me.
12.71 acres, sorry. Yeah, the whole development of Daybreak is just 4,000, a little over 4,000, 4,200 acres. So.
Just already the annex, including the annex property.
So.
Okay. At this point, one more call. If the applicant is present, we'd like to invite them to come forward at this point. The time is theirs to give additional testimony to this item. Seeing that the applicant's not present, we will now open this portion of the meeting to the general public. So any member of the general public who is present would like to give testimony on this item. Just as a reminder, you come forward to the microphone, give us your name and address for the public record, and you have up to 3 minutes to address the commission. Public comment is now open. Seeing none, I will close public comment and move amongst the commission for further discussion leading to a possible motion. Seems, I think, pretty straightforward for the Daybreak items. Of course, in the future, hopefully the roads would line up, ideally. Maybe it's traffic mitigation or to slow down, calming design.
Traffic calming, yes.
Well, it just looks like the way that it was designed, it worked better that way. It's not. I don't find that to be an issue. I just wanted to clarify.
Okay. Any other discussion, Adam? Anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Bishop, please.
Yeah, I'd like to move that the Planning Commission approve file number PLPP 2025-00089, Daybreak Village 11B, Plat 2, preliminary subdivision.
Okay, I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Bishop, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any further discussion to the motion? If not, we'll get a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Brevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Hall?
Yes.
Commissioner Catwell?
Yes.
Yes.
That motion passes 6 in favor, and we wish them luck with this property. Which takes us to our next item, item number H2, the Daybreak South Station Plat 5, for property generally located at 11234 South Granville Avenue, and Peregrine Consulting. On behalf of LHM Real Estate, is also the applicant. Mr. Schindler is also the lucky one at the mic for this one.
All right. Yes, this subdivision is basically it's a two lot subdivision in the downtown Daybreak area in the town center. It covers 6.308 acres, and that does have a period in that one, thank goodness. At least half the time I hit the right one as I type. It's to divide it into two civic or commercial lots are called C lots, and they will be that way. There's one is larger than the other. On the larger lot is intended to for the Miller Arts Center that's going to be constructed there. It will be on the larger lot, and there is a looks like a it's a that easement that's in the middle of between the two lots. It's an access easement for the public that will, it's a private one, but the public will be able to come in through there and park behind the buildings and so forth. And that's what that's for, is to access any future parking areas behind there. I don't have too many other things. As I said before, the subdivision, it meets all the codes and requirements for both the city and state requirements for preliminary plats. The future land use designation is mixed transit oriented development, and that TOD allows up to 50 units per acre. However, there's not going to be any units on this, so we don't have to worry about density for this project. It's definitely a commercial project, and what they've told me before on the smaller lot, it might have some density on that, but it coming through as a site plan, it's going to be probably a mixed use, and which means for them, some a lot of times mixed use is ground floor retail with residential above it, especially in the downtown Daybreak area. So staff is recommending approval of this this subdivision plat as well.
I'll go first one. I have a couple questions or one question. So you just mentioned that the smaller lot may be mixed use and go to site plan. I don't believe the Planning Commission reviews those site plans. Those are done at either staff level.
Correct? They are done at staff level. Yes.
So this might be our only opportunity for this property. And having attended a sporting event very north of this on Saturday evening, there was quite the disturbance with the wind and the dirt, to be honest. And so hopefully, I just want it on the record that there'll be some sort of mitigation that the property owner and or the city can enforce to make sure that they are not allowing tons of dirt to blow in when there's 8,000 plus people in the vicinity in an open space.
Yeah, that we'll have to, I think it's, isn't this, is it, which set of inspectors usually catch those things for they're not watering down the dust? Is it the engineering inspectors or is it a building? I don't remember which. Either one.
Kind of the above, along with our stormwater group.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's not the only complaint the city has received since Saturday evening regarding the dust, but I just wanted, because I have a microphone for them, I just wanted to make sure that was shared, especially where this was on our agenda this evening.
And when games and so forth are happening on the weekends, obviously there's not going to be any staff out there to tell them they had to get it watered, so that could be an issue to remind them. Remind the builders and the developer themselves to keep it down, because there's a lot of wind out west. So
yes, that's really all I had. Anything else from anyone on this project, Ms. Holst?
So since we won't see a site plan, I have a parking question. What type of ordinances apply to a commercial development like this out in Daybreak? Is that listed in their master development plan?
They have master design guidelines that would call the size of this one. It's over 20,000 square feet, so it will still just have the requirement would be three per thousand square feet.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So along the lines of Mr. Gedge, I was at a dance recital at a similar facility in Taylorsville. That's a lovely facility, but woefully underparked.
This one, I can't promise that it's going to not be the same, but right off the bat, I believe the parking that they're going to put it is directly west. It's a vacant, kind of between the fire station and this site. There's some empty property there, and I believe they're going to be putting some parking lots, surface parking lots in. I'm not sure exactly how many, but it's quite a big area.
This is so along a tracks line, correct?
Yeah, the tracks line runs right in front of it. So not the stop isn't the stop. It's like a, we can go to the aerial photo again. As you go down on that toward the south, after Black Twig Drive, and then that's the library, and then the track station is just beyond the library. So that's it's kind of in, right in between the two stations.
I was just going to say, I took a walk out here the other day, and it's actually closer to the stadium track station, but I kind of wish that station had been put, well, that this had been put where the library is at. That would be great, but it's too late for that.
Yeah.
So, and maybe it's for Jeremy, but for on Granville Avenue, there is people parking there on events, and is event parking allowed on the public street? Because you also have the, as we just talked about, track line. It's one lane of traffic each direction, and obviously there's paid parking opportunities. So what is the public parking along Granville?
Well, we've told them on the public streets, you can park on a public street, whether it's an event or for baseball or for, you know, or living someplace. But we've asked them to make sure that they don't have, that there's no public parking when you get into the residential areas of just to the east. There's no event parking over there. And so far we haven't heard any complaints from, I don't think, have we, from those residents. But in the downtown area there, anything that's on a public street, they can park on for whatever. So,
okay, and this was, because this might be the last time we see something along Granville Avenue, this body just, you know, I know it's all new and the traffic flow is all new as well, but just having been out there several times, just if we can tighten the timing of the lights along Granville, or as you're exiting either this facility or the baseball stadium or the library, just ways, so because as people are trying to empty the parking lot, like 3-4 cars can get through, and you're talking thousands of cars in those private parking lots as well. So just as this continues to grow out, and what, you know, I'm thinking worst case scenario, if you have an event at the library, event at this new arts facility, a baseball, something at the stadium, you know, there could be some headaches. So hopefully there's a master transportation plan for multiple event ending approximately at the same time. And
there probably will be enough parking spaces, but whether, you know, if they all empty at the same time, you're right, that it'll be congested on the roads. Yeah. So.
Okay, I think I'll get off my pedestal now. Is anybody else? Mr. Cavill?
Yeah, so Greg, earlier you mentioned that there's a easement between those two properties. Mm-hmm. Can you just go over that again? Because you said public and private. So it's
It's not a public easement, but I guess it's privately owned. It's not something that the city, it's, okay, but so it'll be it's an easement so to grant the public access through. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's just a way to, but still private access, but it'll be allow cars to move to get
right
to where they need to
right
go.
Right. It's not going to be chained off or anything like that. It'll people will be able to go drive through it. It's going to be very narrow, but it's mostly to the future plan for the Arts Center is to have parking, especially for the handicap parking in the back of the building, so it's adjacent to the building, so it makes it so that's, and that will be the access for people to park in those spaces. And also with deliveries and stuff, they'll have trucks that can come through that as well when they need to have for set design and whatever they need to have larger trucks. So.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything else for staff at this point? Okay. Thank you, Greg. We may have questions for you when we discuss, maybe. Okay, at this point, we'd like to invite the applicant present to come forward to give any additional testimony that they would like to add to the staff report. The time is yours to come forward and speak. Seeing that they are not here, we will now open this portion of the meeting to the general public. Any member of the general public who would like to give testimony to this item, same rules apply as the last time. Please come forward to the microphone, give us your name and address, and you have up to 3 minutes to give testimony on this item. Public comment is now open. Seeing none, I will close public comment and take it back to the commission, leading to the discussion. I know I've sounded negative. I think this is a great amount of donations the Miller family is making for this facility. I think it's going to be the crown jewel, other than maybe downtown making us the kind of a destination location, this art center. So I'm personally looking very forward to it. I think they've learned maybe from some of the growing pains of the stadium, and this will be more thoughtfully carried out. So I've expressed my concerns just about the transportation, but I think they're aware. Anything else you guys wanted to add from anyone? Okay. Anyone make a motion?
I can do it.
Okay, please.
I move that the Planning Commission approve file PLPP 2025-00034 Daybreak South Station Plat 5 Preliminary Subdivision.
Okay, I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Harding, seconded by Commissioner Getch. Any further discussion to the motion? Okay, we'll get a roll call vote, please, Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Harding?
Yes.
Commissioner Getch?
Aye.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner
Catmull? Yes. Thank you. That motion passes 6 in favor. So we wish them congratulations and look forward to seeing this nice facility coming to our city. Takes us to our third administrative public hearing item this evening. The item H3, the Sojo Office Condominium Preliminary Subdivision for property located at 10509 South River Heights Drive. Zach Olson is the applicant and Mr. Aguilera will be giving us the presentation. So Miguel, the time is now yours.
Thank you, Commissioner. So this is the Sojo Office Condominium Preliminary Subdivision. This is located just off River Heights Drive. I think if you've been to the area, it's a new construction. It's a new building. It's parking has been in place now. There's landscaping that was recently put in place there and finalized. So essentially, the applicant here is requesting that the Planning Commission approve this internal division of the building. The building has 8 suites, 4 on each floor, and they range in size from 2,568 square feet to 4,012 square feet. This site plan for this building was approved 2 years ago on June 5th of 2025, so now they're almost nearing completion on the construction. We don't know any tenants at this time. The city manager recently approved an upsized single meter to serve all of the suites or lots on this preliminary subdivision. There is no development agreement associated with this application, and the preliminary subdivision will reflect a division of the building as it exists today. And so the PO zone, which is this is part of, the PO zone does not have any specific size requirements for condominiums, and there are no specific requirements for densities and density for condominiums. So staff is recommending approval of this application based on the findings.
Great, thank you, Mr. Aguilar. Just one thing with this subdivision, what are the total number of parking lots that you say had just been paved, and what are those, and does that change with the subdivision, the number that are required of parking?
So I don't recall the number of parking spots off the top of my head from the site application from a couple years ago. The number of parking stalls has not changed. The use and the zoning is not changing at all, so that's no need for them to change.
Just wanted to make sure. Parking's always sensitive, especially in this area. Okay, anything else for staff at this point on this? Ms. Holst?
I have a question for Miguel. It's kind of nitpicky, but I'm just a little bit confused. On the staff report, it says that the area to the west is the residential, but the zoning map shows it's east. I just want to make sure we're not like...
That may have just been a typo. The residential area is to the east.
And it's both of those, the Harvest Villas and the single family homes, right?
Right.
There's no like, I know we're in like an economic center here, so there's no like residential over to the west, right? Because that's like Costco area, those.
Right, it's Costco, storage. It's the fitness center, so it's the sporting, it's the Dollar Tree.
Stores.
Yeah, it's a okay. commercial center. I believe okay. it's all CC zone for north and south for quite a few lots there, so.
Okay, as long as they're, I just wanted to make sure we didn't have residential somewhere that's not showing.
Yeah, no, I did get a call from a resident about them seeing this application. They thought it was going to be a residential application, condominiums, but it's not. So residential is not in this area or on this application.
Ms. Hall?
So this subdivision means that these are for sale, correct? You'll have multiple owners coming in?
I believe so. And perhaps the applicant can speak more to that. I do think he's here today.
Okay. And then I think I had the same question as the resident that called in. Ward condo, I think maybe confuses a little bit. Not residential in nature, only
right. It's the use is not changing. It will remain office. There is no residential living space on this building or any buildings at all on this lot or to the west of this.
But if someone were to have it, that is that there's a code enforcement process that could be recorded and followed if they happen to be doing that against city code.
Correct. I don't see any way they would be able to make any residential use on this building or this plat, but yes, there is a way for code to enforce the zoning here.
Okay. Thank you, Miguel. At this point, if the applicant's present, Mr. Olson's present, if you'd like to come forward to the microphone again, just give us your name. We have you with the application here, and just time is yours to add on anything that staff has given us in the report.
Thank you. Zach Olson, 7585 South Union Park Avenue in Midvale. Thank you, Miguel. I don't really have anything to add, but I'm happy to answer any questions. And I know about the parking, if you want me to address that, and anything else.
Yeah, if you know the number of stalls.
Yeah, and so I believe the requirement's 3.5 per thousand, and we went to 4 per thousand. We just wanted to overpark. With that parking lot really not connecting to anything, we didn't want people parking at EOS and going across that busy street, and so we upsized the parking on that. So that's the situation with the parking.
Perfect. Any other questions for the applicant?
Are these for sale? Will you be
They are for sale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will you have any sort of a parking agreement or joint?
Yeah, it's going to be ran, I'm just, for simplicity, it's going to be like an HOA type of thing that's going to govern, and all the buyers are going to be members of that HOA and vote, you know, have voting rights accordingly. And yeah, they can all park there. There's no designated parking. Right now, we might put some visitor parking that's open to any visitor that comes by.
Do you anticipate that you will maintain ownership of any of these?
I hope not. But we will run the HOA for the first year until just all of them have been sold, and then we'll pass it along.
Anything else for applicant?
Thank you very much.
If there's anything in public comment.
All right, thanks.
At this point of the meeting, third time you're going to hear me say this, but you're invited, if you want to give testimony on this item, to come forth to the microphone, give us your name and address for the public record, and you'll have 3 minutes to address the commission with any items pertaining to this item on this, and public comment is now open. Seeing none, I will close public comment and bring it back amongst the commission for discussion leading to a possible motion. Just one comment I wanted to make. I know it's probably in the code that we, the Planning Commission, have to hear see these types of items, subdivision in this type of circumstance, but it seems almost, you know, the buildings there, the parking lots there, they're just doing an internal subdivision. So it's kind of like a technicality, I guess. Just seems like almost an unnecessary step.
Until we find one unusual enough to merit review.
I just want to say I remember seeing this come through site plan, and there have been several that have come through site plan, and we don't actually see them come to fruition. So it's been fun to watch this building actually go up and see it come into the area, and I think it'll be a really good asset for the city to have these office units available. So,
okay. Anything else from the commission? Anybody want to make a motion? Stab at it.
Make a motion.
Okay, Mr. Bishop.
I move that the Planning Commission approve file number PLPP 2025-00055, Sojo Office Condominium Preliminary Subdivision.
Okay, I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Bishop, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any further discussion to the motion? Mm-hmm. If not, we'll have Ms. Valdez give us a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
And Commissioner Hardy?
Yes.
Thank you. That motion passes 6 in favor. So we wish you good luck again. Thank you for bringing it to fruition, getting this stage, and we look forward to seeing this enhancement to our city. So thank you. That concludes our administrative public hearing items this evening. So we have next our section I, our legislative public hearing. We have one item this evening, which is the Front Runner Station area plan. And Mr. Moss will be presenting us this item this evening. This is was a very thorough report, so took a lot of time. I wish, you know, it was like almost like an audiobook, but
I think this report might be why my iPad's struggling tonight. It keeps crashing.
But Mr. Moss, the time is yours.
Yeah, my phone too.
Of course, thank you, commissioners. So tonight we actually have a co-presenter here. I'm going to turn the time over here to Sean Seeger from WCG, who is our consultant who's been working on this project with us over it's been a while now because he also helped us with our tracks station area plans. So this is our last station area that we don't have a certification of approval for. So there's some state legislation that requires us to look at these station areas by the end of the year. And so this will be our final station area that will bring us into compliance with that legislation. And we've been working on that for the last 6 months or so. And at this point, we'll kind of give it to Sean to give you an overview, and then we'll be here for any questions.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it again. My name is Sean Seeger with Wall Consultant Group. We've been working with your staff for the past year on the track station SAPs out at Daybreak, as well as this front runner station that I'll talk about tonight. And just a quick review, the state legislature passed a rule in 2022, I think it was, that requires a station area plan for all of the fixed route transit service in the UTA system. So anything with commuter rail, light rail, or bus rapid transit. And the idea is to try to coordinate housing, economic development, transportation, and access to opportunity. States putting a lot of money into commuter rail and into the transit system. They want to make sure that it's the potential use is maximized. And so gave a little bit of money to each one of the cities to see if the cities could organize that effort, and that's what we've been doing for the past 6 months or so on the Front Runner station. So this Front Runner station is west in the city of South Jordan, west of I-15, and north of, most of it's north and south of 106 South. It's known as the Sojo Business Complex, I think, is what we got to learn and know as we were out there contacting people. Please feel free to jump in and ask any questions as well during the presentation. Sandy City completed their station area plan for this Front Runner station in 2014. And they were just barely ahead of us in completing that. The interesting thing about the Sandy SAP is it has a lot of housing predicted in that Southtown Mall site, you know, as that potentially redevelops, which is a good thing because we don't have a lot of housing in the South Jordan portion of the station area plan.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are they predicting that the entire Southtown area will develop into housing, or are they like leaving? There's that brand new hockey facility going in there. Are they planning around that, or is that just all going to be housing?
Understood. The discussions we had with their planner was that the city is interested in moving the, the high density allocation that the city has made further south and west into those parking lot areas. So that idea of creating more of a transit reinvestment zone in that area could be taking place. Of course, it's all dependent upon the landowner and the developers, and of course, the new ownership of the Ryan Smith Group, Smith Entertainment Group. So,
can I ask one more question?
Yes, hopefully I answered that portion of it.
No, you're okay. Obviously, I know this is Sandy, so it's not in purview at all, but the Sandy South Jordan boundary is on the western side of I-15, correct? So if that all develops and the goal of this station area plan is to kind of bring people into the commuter rails, are there plans to have crossings under I-15 or over what? How is that going to work if we're developing housing on the other side?
Yep, good question. And yes, there is. When we were out there, I think Miguel is out there and Joe is out there with us. We did a couple of different site visits and put a tabletop up with some Krispy Kreme donuts and stuff, you know, and had people come and talk to us. A lot of people are trying to get over I-15 into REI and those businesses that are east of I-15. So to answer your question, yes, there's a proposed pedestrian bicycle bridge that would span over I-15 and connect the Front Runner or the Front Runner station with the Southtown Mall.
Similar to what's down at UVU.
That's what we've been visualizing. That's what you'll see in that report that you guys were referring to, is that kind of a structure. wouldn't have to be quite as long as the UVU structure, but still very significant, probably the same dollar value as what UVU built.
And will that be funded by Sandy and South Jordan, or will there be like state allocation for that? I'm sure it's not in any budget right now, but.
I believe Sandy City is putting together a budget for that. They've been pursuing legislative elements of putting money in place. The last we spoke with Sandy City and WFRC is they've made significant progress in doing that. I don't believe South Jordan is identified as a financial partner, just as a receiving, you know, the bridge lands and then we figure out how to get the bridge and the traffic into the Front Runner site. So, Brian, if I misspoke, okay. Yeah.
How's maintenance paid for something like that where a lot of people helped pay for it initially?
Yeah, great question. The UVU bridge is maintained and operated by Utah Valley University. They were one of the partners in that project financially, but it rolls up to the whole state of Utah, you know, UDOT and UVU in that case. A lot of the structures are maintained by UDOT. You know, they want to make sure that those structures are safe, secure, properly inspected, and all that kind of stuff. I would imagine that the DOT would play a major role in this one. There's a good one up in Farmington as an example. Yes, Commissioner.
Has there been any studies to show the actual usage of these bridges and compared to the actual price to make sure that that's the best option?
I think that's a really smart question that you ask. Sometimes we see these large structures, you know, and the kids are not using them. You know, they're taking the surface streets. We need to design them in a very deliberate way to make sure that the use is maximized. The one at UVU has an elevator in it. It's easy to get in the elevator, come across, go back down, things like that, and making sure that it's well lit, it's safe, you know, it feels like it has a safe environment. But we try to exhaust all other projects or approaches to solving that problem before you build a very expensive structure like this. Yeah.
Would that include noise abatement as well, or noise reduction technologies? Because sometimes that can be a barrier for people crossing, the loud sounds, sudden sounds, and so forth.
That's what we've heard is one of the biggest complaints of that UVU bridge is you walk on that structure. It has kind of a convex roof structure, so that noise comes up, bounces off that roof, and comes back and gets you a second time. There are ways to try to deal with that with some noise absorbing materials and techniques, but all that stuff should be taken into account for, and we should learn from our other projects that we've built already. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I'll just keep going through this. So this is showing the progress of the Wasatch Front Regional Council. They're making really good progress in completing stationary plans. As Joe alluded to, the goal that the legislature set for us is to have all these plans approved by the end of this year. We're trying to get ahead of that here in the month of June and maybe go into a July meeting with WFRC to see if we can get it approved in July and August rather than at the very end when I imagine everyone will want to be on the agenda in December. So we're making good progress. This is a zoomed in illustration of the station areas in this particular vicinity. You see the track stations on the east side, and then you can see the green portion of our station that we're dealing with that's already been approved by Sandy City. And this is a duplicate slide, Joe. Sorry, I had this one there twice for some reason. WFRC gives us a nice checklist to make sure that we have all the required elements. So it makes it easy for the consultant and the city to make sure that we're meeting everything. And so we've gone through that with WFRC staff and make sure that we're meeting each one of those. This is that event that I alluded to that we had some of your staff out there helping us on April 1st and April 2nd, engaging the public, just asking them what they want, what their problem, you know, if they've had any issues or ways to make the station better, what could we do as a city or as the transit authority to make using the station better? And we did a bunch of one-on-one interviews with property owners in the area, and then we had an online survey. We distributed these little postcards that you can see in the bottom middle of the slide there to each one of the
businesses, the apartments, the hotels in the area, trying to get some feedback on that. And I think it was open for about a month, from March to April, 250 responses or so. Some of the main themes that we picked up on, you know, that they want more service, more commuter rail service, and Sunday service is always brought up. Additional food options at the station. You know, once you get to that station, it's kind of barren in terms of refreshments. There's a new cafe there, I think, that just opened up when we were doing some work out there. So maybe that's going to help a little bit. We would go to the hotel is where we would go to try to get warm for a minute. April 1st and 2nd was just brutal weather. You know, it's gorgeous in the morning, and then we had these snowstorms in the afternoon that came in and really got us. And then, of course, connecting over to I-15, getting down to the Jordan River Parkway, which was surprising to me that people wanted to do that. You know, from that station, they were interested in getting down into that river corridor and using that corridor as a transportation corridor. And then, of course, it was cold those days, so we heard a lot about any warming shelters. You know, the UTA structures that are out there right now, it has a glass around it, but it's open at the bottom, and so the wind was just coming, you know, it didn't really help. Yeah, more for rain and snow than it was for cold weather. And then we have a list of recommendations in the stationary plan. Hopefully you saw those. So this one of these is that pedestrian bridge over I-15. That's on the bottom left of that table. And then some other improvements that the city can work on over the next 5 years or so. And then I think the legislature wants the city to report back on how's it going with those list of recommendations that you came up. And is there anything that we can do to help you out, you know, in terms of accomplishing those?
So quick question. I don't remember seeing this anywhere, and I don't remember the details, but do we update the station area plans every period of time? Because what I'm thinking about is that survey, people who ride that are probably mostly there as the workforce for the industrial commercial side, not as much the residential, but as that area changes, right, the responses are going to change, the challenges are going to change, and I wonder what's the process for keeping this up to date and action, the goals, and help the goals be achieved over time.
That's a really good idea. You know, how do you make this a living document and continue to update it based on changing conditions? And there is no requirement right now to update the stationary plan. These are brand new creations of the legislature. They came up with this idea of, hey, we had to make a little plan for each one of these and make sure that it's coordinated. The only follow-up item is that five-year check-in, you know, right now to say, how are things going? What do you need help with? Do we need to allocate some funding for that bridge structure? The city, of course, can choose to survey residents at any point in time that you want to say, how have conditions changed? You know, we built a new bridge over the interstate, over to the Smith Entertainment property. There's housing there now. What can we do now to make things better so you could proactively do something like that? No requirement in the legislation right now.
Okay, and I know that maybe this is a question. I have a separate question for the city. Okay, thank you.
You bet. Any other questions on the recommendations that we've come up with working with staff? Okay, and then of course you all received a copy of the document itself.
Oh, yeah, actually, I have some questions about the details. I'm looking at pages 98 and 99.
Okay.
Regarding the recommendations.
Yeah.
I was waiting to get into those details, yeah.
Yeah, we can get into some of those details.
Let's see. Yeah, just a couple.
And I can review them too if you want me to go through those and talk about them. Or
just real quick, before we get into our details, this is a legislative item which we need to technically have a public comment. So do we want to have the public, just to be so we're following the process, before we get into our specific questions, we have the open public comment, and then just to make sure we get that out of the way and don't forget, and then we'll jump into is that okay with everyone? If that concludes your report.
The conclusion of the presentation, but I didn't spend very much time on the recommendations piece, to your point.
Well, I guess if I think about it from a public comment perspective, if someone was here, if there's any clarification that would be helpful for everyone to understand, I think that's the important part. If there's then follow-up discussion, it might make sense to then have that. But that's my only thinking.
Okay. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, this has been public in the city council study session of previously in our packet that was general to the public. I just want to make sure we get it covered and that we just don't get in everything and forget to do the public hearing.
Totally get it.
So let's just do the public hearing. We'll get it out of the way because we've had the actual your presentation. And then we will then bring it back and invite the, because the city is the applicant. So, okay, thank you for that. So at this point, we want to open this portion of the meeting to the general public. Any member of the public who is here to give testimony on this item. Same rules apply as with the administrative public hearing items. You come to the microphone, give us your name and address for the record, and you have up to 3 minutes to address any concerns. Your questions may be different than ones that we have put together, or maybe the same. And so we want to hear those as well. So if you are here to give just any comment on this public, this is why we have this meeting as a planning commission, for the general public to give us testimony. I'm not aware of any emails being received to us, but if you are here, the time is now yours to come to the microphone to give any testimony. Okay, seeing none, I will close the public comment. Okay, now we can get into the questions. I just want to make sure we covered the legal stuff. So, okay, Mr. Bishop, and I invite you guys back up. Yes. Sorry for that. I just want to make sure we were
not. No, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this is great. I'll just preface my comments with that. Just had a couple of questions about, I did focus a lot on the recommendations because that's really where the rubber was meeting the road. So
for sure.
Let's see. One, I actually counted it out. There's 9 high recommendations, 6 medium, 5 low.
Oh, yeah.
Already quite a few high, right? And it's, but it's just looking at the recommendations that directly make safety improvements. Like, it seemed like all of them were low, and frankly, I couldn't. If I had to pick a different one to kind of, you know, replace it with, I was having a difficult time with that. But I just thought I'd mention that the one. The one that stuck out to me the most was number 7. I just wondered if there was somehow we could get some of those types of improvements, like higher priority.
And that's the enhanced pedestrian experience.
Yes.
recommendation and improved crossings, lightings, underarms. UDOT has a new program. Maybe you've heard about this. They made a pretty big deal about it this last spring. And so they're able to add these LED lights directly underneath the mast of the street lights. And during the pedestrian phase of the button, you know, that you pushed across the street, that will light up and now illuminate that crossing in the evening hours. Again, it's just adding another indicator, you know, that, hey, be careful. Someone has pushed that button. There's going to be someone in this crossing walk and add a little bit more light. So, you know, we're recommending that the city engage UDOT. I know that Jeremy meets with the city, the DOT all the time. And that's something that he can bring up to them to say, hey, is this a possibility at this location? We have all the wiring in place. It's very a simple addition. They just add that new light in there and adds a lot of safety to it. So, certainly something that I think the city could not necessarily wait because it's a lower priority, but it's something that you could pursue immediately as well. If that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was also curious, I have been out on, you know, a transit station before in the, you know, a Utah winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little familiar with the way, the stations are designed, or like we, in order, you get a fixed design, basically, is my understanding. And if the city would like to put more money to it, they can kind of.
That was my understanding
add
too.
Something to that,
betterments. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's see, where is it? It's number 10, the front runner station platform improvements.
Yep.
It sounds like the way I read that, it kind of sounded like we're just going to ask UTA, like, hey, can you improve this station? And I was just curious, what is that really how that would go, or what would that entail?
You know, when things, any project I've ever been associated with has had a champion behind it, one or two individuals, you know, and they say, Utah Transit Authority and city, let's work together on making this station a little bit more comfortable for people.
So I would envision that it would be the city in partnership with UTA to make something like that happen at that station. What we noticed is there's actually quite a few amenities at the station already. You just can't find them. They're not visually apparent. There's really nice bike lockers, a bike repair station, some bike racks around the corner. You can get to the Ultradent parking lot really easily, and you might not know that unless you watched everyone walking down that little trail. So some of that signage stuff, the really easy stuff that's able to get done, I would see the city working in partnership with Utah Transit Authority, you know, to try to achieve some of that. Now, restrooms, completely different deal. Very difficult to maintain and operate a restroom. Other amenities, you know, we talked about, because it was so cold on the day that Joe and I were out there, you know, we were visualizing those shelters at the airport that have the heater you turn on, and it's some type of infrared electrical heater. Just something like that would have been great that day for the people that were waiting out there for Front Runner to come along. So I think there's some things that you can do that may not be really, really expensive, but I think it would be a partnership between the city and UTA.
You can even, I can say this from personal experience, maybe I shouldn't share it, well, I'll share it. You can, if you have the bike locker, you can actually go into the bike locker in stormy days. And
there you go.
I have blanket. Done that. I have done it, no blanket, but just to get out of the wind and the rain or in the snow. So that it was pretty cheap. It was only $70 a year. So
well, there you go. I learned something new today.
Just one more question.
Yep.
Number two, the east-west transit connectivity.
Yeah.
I just bring this up because I know like CMAQ is a funding source, right, for...
Yeah, Congestion Management and Air Quality Funds, CMAQ. Right.
Yeah, it seems like that could qualify as an environment improvement. I feel like you could make that argument.
But. Yeah, definitely. I think it'd be a qualifying project for CMAQ funding. And I know the city staff is constantly looking at those opportunities to apply for funding through WFRC and making sure that they're looking for those opportunities. That whole circulator route idea, you know, connecting the east side to the west side with some better service was really intriguing for UTA to analyze. And UTA typically doesn't like to use circulators that just do a circle. They like to create new routes that come through and go to another destination. And so you have that constant service of that traffic coming through a site rather than just circulating through the site. They kind of view circulators as the role of the local employer or the, in this case, we were seeing a lot of traffic go to the Mountain America Credit Union Expo Center. A lot of traffic going, because they had their own shuttle system. They would pick them up as they got off the Front Runner, and I think they were employees and staff going up to the Expo Center. So there's conversations to be had with UTA and with WFRC to see if you can get some of those things in place.
And especially where we've previously approved the Black Diamond Pickleball, which is just slightly outside the circle, like by 20 feet.
Right.
And so, you know, there's, I think, some opportunity. And I saw the plan for, you know, lines along Jordan Gateway. Hopefully it will be improved better as well to get to 114th or... obviously to Southtown, because that's where they're going to, for that center, park people for events there. So hopefully they'll continue to have that very vibrant discussion with UTA. Anything else, Mr. Bishop?
That's all I've got. Thank you.
Ms. Bevins?
Is that development that's going in, the residential development right by the U.S.?
The Rise development.
Mm-hmm. Is that in this circle, and are you counting that housing?
They were in.
Yes, I believe so. Joe, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah. So that's a different application that's currently scheduled for City Council. I know you all have voted on that. It's the altitude development, I believe. The Rise is just off of River Park. But no problem. But yeah, that is, it does, the land uses recommendations do align with this particular plan. You know, as part of this process, we did talk to all the property owners and kind of looked at what they were hoping to do with their property. And in our case, we did have a big need for additional housing, and so that land use really matched up with what our needs were for the station area, so that's what's included here.
Okay, so you did count those units?
Not in the future units, but they're not in the existing units since they're not currently approved.
Okay, but that was included like in the east-west connectivity to the Jordan River Trail with the improvements that we've seen, whatever. Mm-hmm.
That connection would definitely serve a big check mark on our implementation if we're able to establish that.
Anything else? Mr.
Kemp? So I think this is it's a perfect use case in my mind for a cross-cutting station area plan because it crosses two municipalities. There's a lot of coordination to do. So thank you for putting it together. I would like to see some sort of plan to update it regularly, and I don't know if that's the active transportation plan as a trigger or a separate station area plan to help with the medium and long-term goals, because we're going to go through a lot of change in the next 10 to 20 years. You look at robo-taxis down in Austin or wherever they're going everywhere. And so there's going to be lots more options, and that's what we're looking at is transportation options to get across there. So I'd love to see something like that. I do have one typo. It looks like it needs top of page 31. Where there's the leakage for sales tax or the sales tax leakage. There's a table that talks about private vehicle motor sales, and it says the capture rate is $1 instead of percent. All the rest are percents. So.
Let's see. Sorry, the packet page numbering is different than the report page numbering.
It's report page 31, I think.
31?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's the leakage part, the leakage table.
The leakage table. Oh.
Top of
37. Sales tax leakage. Oh, the equipment is cut off?
It is private vehicle motor sales capture rate. And it's the first line in the table at the top of a page.
Page 37 of the report.
37. Sorry. Not a big deal, but
mm-hmm. Okay. Noted that.
Do you have like a spell checker at school, or that's pretty good.
No, I was fascinated by the whole concept of leakage and I mean,
good catch.
It's not necessarily the topic today, but it's. Like, what are the trends that are happening in there, and how did you even calculate that for services and all that? But it's probably not as important for the Planning Commission to get into, probably more germane for the City Council, but in the process of looking that over, that's what I saw, so. I think I've said my piece about the, you know, it's going to change not only from the transportation options, but the characteristic of the station area. So I'd love to see it updated.
I can speak to that a little bit. So
perfect.
As the city's long range planner, we're constantly looking at what plans we're going to be updating and what's going on next. Now that we have these plans established, as we do additional updates to things like the general plan, it'll be a pretty natural thing to look at updating some of these area plans in the process as future plans come along and we update current plans that are, you know, might age out of relevance. So I don't anticipate that it would be something that goes away. It may look different in the future, depending on, you know, if state legislation changes, or if, maybe it becomes part of a larger plan or a different kind of area plan. But I wouldn't anticipate that these sorts of smaller area plans would entirely go away. They may just be incorporated in different ways in the future, mm-hmm. but it would be our intent to continually make sure that we have up-to-date plans, including these station area plans in the future.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, because it seems like I did see that the active transportation plan was a key piece of this one as included as a separate map and page. So
that's right.
Thank you.
I'll just go last. Thank you for putting this together. As someone who was just very slightly outside. I got on one page of my house of the packet, so very closest, and someone who rides front runner at this station every single day. Definitely, hopefully, some of those lower priorities are bumped up the list a little. That's just my personal ask. So whatever we can do to work with UTA to get that, trust me, cold, rainy days, I'm very familiar with those. So anything we can do to improve that, the list was great. But thank you for the thoroughness of this. And just what are the next steps? So obviously, we're making a recommendation to City Council today. You mentioned the Wasatch Front Regional Council, hopefully in July. But what is our City Council next?
Yes, so we have this tentatively scheduled for the 15th of July for the City Council, and then that would get us, after that's been adopted, then we can submit to WFRC for their August meetings for the Regional Growth Committee, and then the actual Wasatch Front Regional Council meeting at the end of August.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. All right, so it seems pretty straightforward. A lot of information. This actually helps in my neighborhood answering some questions about the future, so it makes my life a whole lot easier other days of the week. So thank you for the staff and for the consultant for putting this together for us. And I know City Council, I mentioned, did hear this in their last, I think, study session, this item as well. I don't believe there were concerns. Again, this is state mandated on this as well. So any other thoughts or comments? I like what Mr. Campbell said, though. It looks like this will help us, which is one of our, I think, this commission's plans is to review the general plan more than every 10 years, and this might help us with some of our own internal goals with our roles as planning commissioners. That is
well. I do want to add one thing. I know I'm kind of known as the bike guy, which is pretty funny, actually, because I actually, like, got myself a bike and tried to ride it around because I felt like it was a good, like, direction for the city to go. So it's been kind of an exploratory exercise for me. And one thing I will say is that I found it throughout the city, it came up in the conversation this evening, is that whenever you get into particularly a dense, like, commercial type part of the city, there's a boundary running north and south that you can mostly only get across on a bike, or sorry, in a car, if that makes sense, or get in with the car traffic. That's one of the most difficult challenges of getting around. The fancy term they use is disentanglement, where you want to separate the bike and pedestrian traffic from the cars. One of the downsides of mixing them is that cars, they can accelerate quickly, right, and go faster than most of these other modes of travel. So you're not impacted as much by stoplights and that kind of thing. But pedestrians, cyclists, when they have to follow the rules of the cars, make those stops, they don't have the advantage of the motor to get them to make up for that difference. So it's difficult. As I've looked at the city and, like, how would you disentangle these types of traffic? It's difficult. Really difficult. But just wanted to share that.
Yeah, and then I liked all the references to the bicycle pedestrian traffic that were referenced in this report on that. And of course, with this plan, the connectivity to the Jordan River, which hopefully prevents less, I guess, conflict points. I don't know the technical. Yeah. So you don't have to disentangle, so less of those friction points. Okay, anything else, everyone? Okay, so our action is that we make a recommendation to the City Council. They'll be the authoritative body to make a final decision. Anyone want to take a stab at it?
I'll do it.
Okay. Ms. Bevins.
No,
I move that the Planning Commission recommend the City Council approve Resolution R-2025-24, the Front Runner Station Area Plan.
I will second that. We have a motion by Commissioner Bevins, a second by Commissioner Gedge. Any further discussion to the motion? If not, this will require a roll call. So, Ms. Valdez, please.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Catwell?
Yes.
And Commissioner Hardy?
Yes.
Thank you. That motion passes 6 in favor for positive recommendation to the City Council. So I wish you both luck with our City Council on July 15th. because they only have the one meeting in July. So that concludes our legislative public hearing items this evening. We already moved up our other businesses item. So that basically concludes our agenda, but I am, Mr. Schindler knows what I'm going to ask. Our first meeting in July, I believe, is July 8th. Is that right? How's that looking?
Currently, there's nothing on that agenda.
And then, of course, the fourth Tuesday is the week of the 24th. So I guess probably way too early for that, but I know, I'm not sure.
There's one item already set for that.
Okay. Just so y'all, if you were planning on any, that week of the 24th. Okay.
I probably will be too.
Okay. And we may not have a replacement. So the other three of us, we have to be here. If not, I will be begging for someone to join us virtually, as we discussed earlier this evening, if necessary. If it's only one item, hopefully the three of us will be able to make it for the fourth week in July. So, hey, yes, please, Ms. Bevins.
Okay, I had to write this down because if you were at City Council, I kind of did not. I couldn't speak, it got too emotional, but I just wanted to say thank you, and that the decision to move was not an easy one. I know I say it all the time, working with lots of different municipalities in my day job. I get to see how a lot of the cities around us and around the Wasatch Front work and all across the state. And time again, I'm just blown away by how good our staff is and how lucky we are to have the talent and care that our city staff and our city council have for the city. I don't know if that's me or not, but it's been a privilege to engage with the public and with each item I've had the chance to. I could probably go around the room with each person in each department and list endless things that I'm grateful for each of you and how hard you work and how lucky we are as a city to have you. I just want to say for my colleagues up here, dang it, I almost made it. Sorry. The caliber and quality of the people up here are second to none. So I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be part of this. Dang it. Sorry, you guys know I cry about everything. It's like my biggest flaw. But all of the work that goes into this doesn't go unnoticed. So thank you. And hopefully, I'm not quitting my job, so I'm sure, unfortunately for some of you, you'll still have to put up with me. Miguel left, but Miguel's got to put up with me for a little bit longer. So thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to serve in the city.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure for the last 4 years to serve on this dais with you. The three of us in the middle have served the last 4 years with you. So it's been a pleasure. We wish you the best in your family, in your next adventures. And you will always have a home here in SoJo.
Thank you.
Anything else from staff or commission? If not, do you want to make your last motion?
Sure. I move we adjourn.
We are adjourned.